The fuck? Good evening. Welcome to what? The Living Last Supper. So glad you're here. I have like 1,000 things I'm holding because why I can't remember anything at this point in my life. So the offering tonight is for the Gideons, and it'll be out there in the entryway. So when you leave, you can put there if you would like. Big thank you for this. Came rather quickly, this whole planning, and so a big thank you to Kathy Lehman, Carol Lehman, Diane Van Holden for the robes, which happened so it was like really a miracle. And thank you so much for that. The other announcement that I have is when we'll go all dark in the sanctuary here, when the lights come back up. I'd like for the congregation to exit silently at that point. So that'll be at the end there. There'll be a song being played. But I think that's all I have for announcement. So let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. May we remember that night. God, may this be a night of reflection, self-reflection, Lord. That it was every one of us that put you on that cross. Thank you so much for dying for all our sins, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
For us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Why should I gain from
deny him? Am I not the rock he called me to be? Could I lose my Lord, my friend, because I'm not strong enough to be faithful? Jesus, is it not?
I've been known as Peter's little brother Andrew since the day I was born. Years ago, I left the fishing business to follow a fiery preacher named John the Baptizer. He was anointed by God to prepare the way for the long-awaited Messiah, and now I follow him. I love bringing people to Jesus. I brought my brother to Jesus and have watched him grow and become a strong leader among us. I brought the little boy with the lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, and I've even brought Gentiles to Jesus as he is open and loving to anyone who is searching for the truth. But Jesus has enemies in high places who would love to silence him or even see him die. And now he speaks of a betrayer in our midst. Oh, please don't let it be me that brings sorrow to our Lord. Jesus, is it I?
Is
fact, my mother suggested that I should sit at Jesus' right hand when he claimed his throne and John on his left. After all, it was we who were invited to the mountain with Jesus, and we saw him transfigured. His face shone like the sun, and a voice of God came out of heaven. He chose me. He chose each one of us. How could one of us betray him? We had seen his perfect adherence to the law. We had heard the voice of God say, "This is my son." And we were present with countless miracles, healings, works that no mere man could accomplish. Could it be my brother John? Could it be me? Is it I?
I am Matthew, and before I became the disciple of Jesus, I worked for the Roman government collecting taxes. I used to take advantage of one of the perks of this profession, skimming a little off the top for personal use. Listening to Jesus, I came to realize that I had committed sin against my neighbors and took advantage of those people. I cheated them. I became wealthy by stealing their hard-earned wages and goods. I hoarded earthly treasures instead of seeking eternal ones. My heart has changed because of Jesus. I even threw a huge feast in my home and invited others who worked with me in that corrupt organization to meet him. And perhaps maybe they would change there as well. But now he speaks of a traitor among us. Will the others suspect me? A known publican, sinner? Lord, could it be me?
Jesus. I'm known as Bartholomew to some, Nathaniel to others. I've been a diligent student of the scriptures and a disciple of John the Baptizer. My friend Philip told me about this Jesus of Nazareth, saying he was the one with whom the prophets had written. At first, I was skeptical. Jesus of Nazareth? Filthy, immoral place. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But John said Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then I met this Jesus. He seemed to know me already, to know my innermost thoughts. Although I've always been a devout man, I realized Jesus was offering something more intimate, more personal than my religion had ever offered before. For over 1,000 years, we have been celebrating the Feast of Passover, remembering the bitter slavery in Egypt with the bitter herbs, remembering the 10 plagues with the 10 drops from the goblet, remembering how the blood of the sacrificed lamb caused the angel of death to pass over the Israelites and spare their firstborn. Remembering how God set his people free. That wonderful story. How they fled with no time to cook leavened bread. They baked unleavened bread in the warmth of the sun. Now Jesus breaks this unleavened bread and says, "This is my body." He shares the cup and says, "This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." I don't understand. What could make me betray my friend? Lord, is it I?
I'm known as Thaddeus. Look at Jesus' hands. Carpenter's hands, rough, weathered hands, yet so gentle and loving. His hands reached out and touched a leper, and the disease was erased from his body. His hands reached out and touched Peter's mother-in-law, and her fever disappeared. His hands reached out and lifted Jairus' daughter from her deathbed. His hands opened the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind and mended the bones of the lame. Countless infirmities, illnesses, deformities, gone. His hands reached out, blessing little children when others would have turned them aside. His hands reached down, rescuing Peter out of the churning sea that would have swallowed him. His hands, blessing and breaking bread, folding in prayer. Just such simple gestures, yet so profound, so profound. Those hands that have shown mercy and kindness, given love and healing, giving love and healing to everyone. Those hands that served me, Thaddeus, and his other brothers, and worshiped his father. There are hands of God in this very room. All of us have reached blessings from his hands, received blessings from his hands. All of us have seen miracles those hands have performed. Who could betray him into the hands of an enemy? Will I, Thaddeus, betray you? Is it I, Jesus?
His hands, tools of creation, stronger than nations, power without end. And yet through them we find our truest friend. His hands, sermons of kindness, healing men's blindness, halting years of pain. Children waiting to be held again. His hands would serve his whole life through, showing man what hands might do, giving, ever giving, endlessly. Each day was filled with selflessness, and I'll not till I make of my hands what they could be. Till these hands become like those from contention, pointing to heaven, ever free of sin, then bidding man to follow him. His hands would serve his whole life through, showing man what hands might do, giving, ever giving, endlessly. Each day was filled with selflessness, and I'll not rest till I make of my hands what they could be. Till these hands become like like those from Calvary. His hands clasp in agony as he lay pleading, bleeding in the garden, while just moments away other hands betray him out of greed, shameful. Trembling, straining to carry the beam that they'd be nailed to, as he stumbles through the streets, heading for the hill on which he'd die. He would die. They take his hand. Mighty hands, those gentle hands, and then they pierce them, he lets them, because of love, from birth to death. Was selflessness, and clearly now I see him with his hands calling to me. And though I'm not yet as I would be, he has shown me how I could be. I will make my hands like those from Calvary. Immoral woman, forgiving them both.
perform wonders, change lives. I don't want him to go away. Not now, not ever. And how can we follow him if we don't know where he is going? Is there something I have done or will do that will contribute to this betrayal he speaks of? Have you seen my lack of faith? My hidden doubt? My fear? Is it I?
I am Judas Iscariot, the treasurer for this group. I have followed Jesus, but I am growing tired of his reluctance to take a stand against our oppressors. I believe he is who he says he is. But why would God send a Messiah for this? To wash feet and serve bread? I have no need of a spiritual king. We need a political king. Someone to rise up and overthrow these Romanet tyrants. Thousands of people will follow him over mountainsides, across rivers to hear him speak. Surely he could put together an army in no time. Something must be done to force him to make his move, to lead us to victory, to establish the new kingdom. A betrayer among us indeed. All these men look at one another suspiciously around the table, wondering, guessing, accusing. They look inwardly and ponder their own motivations. But why do they sit here like sheep waiting for a shepherd? Someone must do something. Well, I have. Tonight, the elders and chief priests will help me help usher in the promised kingdom. History will thank me for this. Oh, yes, someone has betrayed him. Perhaps all of us will do so before the night is over. Master, is it I?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Shame they hear.